Of course there was going to be a trick, there was always a trick. But you watched it in order to see a trick done well. Lord Vetinari raised the melon nevertheless, and the crowd nodded in satisfaction. Of course, it wasn't there. It'd be a pretty poor day for street entertainment if things were where they were supposed to be. Sergeant Colon knew what was going to happen next, and he knew this because for the last minute or so something had been pecking at his head. Aware that this was probably his moment, he raised his fez and revealed a very small, fluffy chick. "Have you got a towel? I'm afraid it's just gone to the toilet on my head, sir." There was laughter, some applause, and to his amazement, a tinkling of coins around his feet. "And finally," said the patrician, "the beautiful Betty will do an exotic dance." The crowd fell silent. Then someone at the back said, "How much do we have to pay for her not to?" "Right, I've just about had enough of this." Veils flying out behind her, bangles jingling, elbows waving viciously, and boots kicking up sparks, the lovely Betty strode into the crowd. "Which of you said that?" People shrank away from her. Armies would have retreated. And there, revealed like a jellyfish deserted by a suddenly ebbing tide, was a small man about to fry in the wrath of the ascendant knobs.
"I meant no offence, O doe-eyed one."
"Oh, pastry-faced, am I?"
Nobby flung out an arm in a crash of bracelets and knocked the man over.
"You've got a lot to learn about women, young man."
And then, because a knobs could never resist a prone target, the petite Betty drew back a steel-capped boot.
"Betty," snapped the patrician.
"Oh, right, yeah, right,"
said Nobby, with veiled contempt.
"Everyone can tell me what to do, right? Just because I happen to be the woman around here, I'm supposed to accept it all, eh?"
"No, you just ain't supposed to kick him in the fork,"
hissed Colon, pulling him away.
"It don't look good."
Although he noted the women in the crowd seemed to be disappointed by the sudden curtailment of the performance.
"And there are many strange stories we can tell you," shouted the patrician.
"Betty certainly could," murmured Colon,
and was kicked sharply on his ankle.
"And many strange sights we can show you."
"Betty certainly, ow!
But for now we will seek the shade of yonder caravanserai."
"What are we doing?"
"We're going to the pub."
The crowd began to disperse, but with occasional amused glances back at the trio. One of the guards nodded at Colon.
"Nice show," he said, "especially the bit where your lady didn't remove any veils."
He darted behind his colleague as Nobby spun round like an avenging angel.
"Sergeant," the patrician whispered, "it is very important that we learn the current whereabouts of Prince Kadram, do you understand? In taverns, people talk. Let us keep our ears open."
The tavern wasn't Colon's idea of a pub. For one thing, most of it had no roof. Arched walls surrounded a courtyard. A grapevine grew out of a huge cracked urn and had been teased overhead on trellises. There was the gentle sound of tinkling water, and unlike the mended drum, this was not because the bar backed onto the privies, but because of a small fountain in the middle of the cobbles. And it was cool, much cooler than in the street, even though the vine leaves scarcely hid the sky.
"Didn't know you could juggle, sir,"
Colon whispered to Lord Vetinari.
"You mean you can't, Sergeant?"
"No, sir."
"How strange. It's hardly a skill, is it? One knows what the objects are and where they want to go. After that, it's just a case of letting them occupy the correct positions in time and space."
"You're dead good at it, sir. Practice often, do you?"
"Until today, I've never tried."
Lord Vetinari looked at Colon's astonished expression.
"After Ankh-Morpork, Sergeant, a handful of flying melons present a very minor problem indeed."
"I'm amazed, sir."
"And in politics, Sergeant, it is always important to know where the chicken is."
Colon raised his fez.
"Is this one still on my head?
It seems to have gone to sleep. I wouldn't disturb it if I were you."
You, juggler. She can't come in here."
They looked up. Someone with a face and apron that said barman in 700 languages was standing over them, a wine jug in each hand.
"No woman in here," he went on.
"Why not?" said Nobby.
"No women asking questions neither."
"Why not?"
"'Cause it is written, that's why."
"Where am I supposed to go, then?"
The barman shrugged.
"Who knows where women go?"